Hi, plant friends. This whole episode that you're about to hear with Cola from Black in the Garden is pre-recorded, but you have been on my mind, and I just wanted to hop on here before I release the fully recorded episode to say, man, plant friends, we are in some scary times right now, some trying times with this pandemic kind of taking over our country and our world, and a lot of us have been spending a lot of time indoors lately. Me, I'm on my fourth day of being indoors in a row. I'm in New York City with Billy. And I just wanted to take a minute to say, my plant friends, my heart is with you. I have been thinking about you a lot. I'm fortunate enough that I've been able to talk with you guys and check in with you on Facebook and on the Patreon page and on Instagram. But I just wanted to send my love to you and my wish for health and peace and just to encourage you all to take care of each other. This has been a really interesting week for me. I'm finding that I'm feeling more of a sense of community this week in isolation than I have when I have not been isolated. And seeing you all support each other and what people are doing to promote small businesses who are getting affected and take care of the kids who can't go to school and get their lunches, like seeing these beautiful acts of kindness amidst this very scary time has been incredibly moving for me. And I'm just inspired by all of you, and I'm thinking of all of you, and I'm just wishing you all so much health, so much safety, so much peace, and a lot of time with your plants, plant friends. I'm on my fourth or fifth day of quarantine, and I've been spending a lot of time with my plants. I've been prepping them for spring. I'm making a lot of video content for you guys trapped in my apartment for a bit, which I can't wait to bring to you. But I encourage you to lean into this beautiful hobby that we have right now. If you are home and you are, practicing distancing or isolation, or if you are quarantined, take this time. Take a minute. You know, I'm binge watching The West Wing, and I'm finding myself, you know, on episode 7 to just pause West Wing for a minute and just sit with my plants and notice their leaves and just have a meditative moment. We're so fortunate that we have this hobby that can bring us back to ourselves and bring us some peace. So lean in, plant friends, and I'll definitely be bringing you guys more resources to do that. I want to support you guys in any way possible, so please let me know if you have brainstorms. I'm thinking about doing some Zoom calls with our Patreon community. If you have other ideas, you know, I was thinking about doing a huge event in New York City in the spring, which is now definitely not going to happen for you guys. So if you have different ideas of how I can support the community in this time when we're all indoors, please let me know, because I'm committed to helping and serving and blooming and growing with all of you in that way. So I love you all so much. I'm sending you all my love. You are on my thoughts today as I prepare to release this episode. And I just hope that you keep blooming and keep growing through these trying times, and just be kind to one another. In the words of Ellen DeGeneres, I know I say it all the time, just be kind to one another. Have radical empathy for each other in these moments. These are unprecedented moments. Everyone is dealing with them in their own way, and our job is to just show up with kindness and love for each other. So that with that, I love you, and I love this episode, and I love this guest. So I hope that it brings you some education and relief in the midst of whatever you're up to in your apartments or homes this week. Doom do 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 do. Hi, plant friends. Welcome to episode 85 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hello, plant friends. I hope you have had a wonderful couple of planty weeks. I have to say, now that I feel like I'm finally settled back into New York after being on the road for a year, I am really starting to reconnect with my plants, and it kind of took a minute when I came back. You'll hear in next week's episode, Billy is coming back on the show to discuss that year and what it looked like more. But it has just been so nice dropping back into my plant care routine, especially as you can feel spring is in the air in New York. Our plants are waking up, just assuming that morning watering routine and, you know, diving back into my plant collection, which I've been gone for so long. So it's been a wonderfully couple of planty weeks for me. I'm so excited to dive into today's podcast episode. I'm not going to talk to you for too long ahead of the episode. Quick thing is, there was a new YouTube show video up on our YouTube channel. If you guys aren't subscribed, head over. It's a geranium care episode and an unboxing from this month's podcast sponsor, Plants by Post. So if you're curious about using them, I do an unboxing that they ship me from California and I unbox geranium. So then I do a brief geranium care, and we just got a fancy new camera for the YouTube channel, and I'm really excited to make more video content for you guys too, just because plants are super visual. So it's going to be great to have some video siblings of some episodes that we have moving forward. I also just ordered some African violets online. So when they arrive at my house, I'll do another unboxing and a little care video on YouTube, since that was last week's episode topic. So go over to the YouTube channel and make sure you're subscribed. And thank you and welcome to our two new Patreon sponsors of the week, Shanna and Kendall. Thank you so much for joining our community of supporters. If you are interested in becoming a Patreon Plant Friends, they support the show and the podcast and Bloom and Grow monetarily every month. And in exchange, you get the password to the Planty Facebook group, which is the most wonderfully planty community on Facebook, full of the kindest plant people I know. They're so fun to talk to and ask questions to. And it's just fun watching them all coach each other. And you get to help me bring this podcast to as many ears of as many plant people around the world as possible. So I'm so thankful to you. Welcome, Shanna and Kendall. So today's episode, I'm so excited to have another podcaster join me. It's always so fun to have conversations with other podcasters. Today, we welcome Kola B. Talkin, and she is the founder of the Black in the Garden podcast. And in this conversation, I'm going to let it speak for itself because it's so wonderful. But Kola shares amazing stories about some historic Black gardeners and plant people. We discuss her top five favorite houseplants that originate in Africa, and Kola highlights some beautifully diverse gardeners doing amazing things in the plant space, and we need to know about them. So we have a great conversation about some awesome people at the end. This conversation was eye-opening, heart-opening, enlightening, inspiring, and I'm so thankful to Kola for taking the time to share this amazing information with me. So I hope you find our conversation as interesting as I did. I'm excited to share this conversation that I love with you, but I'm also so excited to tell you about today's episode sponsor, who I love. You've heard about him before, Plants by Post. So, plant friends, Plants by Post is a family-owned nursery located in Northern California, specializing in indoor and outdoor annuals, perennials, veggies, herbs, lavenders, succulents, geraniums, and amazing houseplants. They have something for every plant person, whether you are building out your herb garden for the season, looking to grow some tomatoes this growing season, maybe bringing some beautiful geranium blooms onto your porch or in your home, maybe some scented lavender. Whatever you're looking to do, Plants by Post likely has a plant for you. Especially since spring is upon us. If you're looking for gifts for friends, they also have this great plant pot mix and matching service on their website, so you can pick a plant to send to someone or to yourself. And then they have several options of different pots that the plant can go in. So I've used this as a service for gifting friends, and they have loved the plants when they have arrived. I've talked about the Sansevieria moonshine that I've gotten from them several times, but I recently just got a beautiful shipment of geraniums in from Plants by Post, and geraniums are a very special plant for me. So I did an unboxing and a geranium care episode on the YouTube channel, so you can click over to the YouTube if you're interested in getting to know the quality of shipping and plants that Plants by Post send. I've received 4 shipments of plants from Plants by Post now, and every shipment the plants have arrived in amazing condition, and the packaging has all been recyclable, which has been amazing. They're also super environmentally friendly just as a company and NPS certified. So my plant friends, if you are interested in learning more about Plants by Post and getting healthy, happy plants delivered right to your door, direct from this family-owned grower, head to plantsbypost.com and use the code BLOOM20 for 20% off. So once again, head to plantsbypost.com and use code BLOOM20 for 20% off. Okay, here's Kola.
Thank you. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Kola, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, thank you, Maria, for inviting me on Bloom and Grow Radio. I am thrilled because I love your voice. And
oh, I love your voice too. It's so like rich and beautiful. It's always fun to have another podcaster to talk to because they just like totally get the medium of podcasting. So I'm excited to just have a great conversation with you today.
Yes, I'm excited too. I had to just let you know how it's a thrill for me because, you know, as a podcaster in this particular niche, you know, coming in, starting Black in the Garden, obviously being a gardening podcast, I first came in looking for a podcast that would be at least appealing to me. And I can say that out of all of them, Bloom and Grow Radio was the one. It's the energy. I love the intro.
Oh gosh, the cheesy song. The intro is very polarizing. People either love it or they hate it. I've gotten some very strongly worded emails about how much people don't like the intro song, but I love it. So I'm going to keep it.
If they don't like it, it's not for them.
Exactly. They can go listen to another podcast. Well, that's really nice of you. And I love what you're doing at Black in the Garden. And that's just a perfect jumping point. So how did you become the plant lady you are today and the creator of Black in the Garden? Tell us a little bit about your collection of plants.
Sure, of course. My collection of plants started in Florida. That's where I started gardening.
You lucky duck.
I know, right? I want to say that's like zone 9-ish. I'm not in that zone right now. I'm in zone 8 in Columbia, South Carolina. But I was fortunate, like you said, to start in Jacksonville, Florida. And it started with me. I really had a desire to grow food, but I quickly became intimidated by like the first attempt or even the thought of the first attempt. Because when you come into gardening, it comes upon you quickly how much you just don't know. And I was like, what? Because like one of the first episodes that I remember listening to Bloom and Grow Radio was the Tale of the Tomato. Do you remember that? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. My favorite story.
Yes. And it was just so vulnerable and transparent. And I related to that so well because I kind of had a similar experience, not with the tomato, but just with the trial and error of it all. Mm-hmm. So I recognized how intimidated I was by how much I did not know, I gravitated towards succulents. Succulents in Florida, it works pretty well, you know, and they're kind of hard to mess up.
Yeah, so, and you get all that sunshine.
Exactly. And you don't really have to water them in Florida. I just had this beautiful collection of succulents. Of course, I had my little cuttings tray where I was rooting my little baby leaves and things. And then I somehow got into the houseplants, and that's where it just exploded. And I remember coming upon the concept of guerrilla gardening, where it's like basically foraging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I had this friend, and she was an older lady, and she was very generous, but also a little bit strange. She would feed these cats at this particular house, and she would ask me to take her over there and feed the cats in the yard. And I went in the backyard one day, and girl, there was this huge monstera in the backyard chilling. I was like,
oh my gosh,
that's mine now.
So did she give you a cutting?
No, it wasn't a cut. It was an abandoned house. That's what was so weird about the whole situation, was we're just out there. She's so concerned about these cats. Fine. I'm so concerned about this monstera because, and it was very simple. Like it had, I remember it had maybe 5 leaves on it. Maybe 3 of them were brown, but it was one of the giant ones that's like, I don't know, like 2 feet across with all the perfect fenestrations.
That you only see in Florida. Yeah. Exactly. With the huge leaves. Yeah.
So random. And so of course when I pulled it out of the ground, cause you know, that's what I did. When I pulled it out of the ground, it just came right up and it had a nice sturdy stalk on it. Cause you know, they grow in different ways, but this one was pretty mature to have that kind of stalk on it. Mm-hmm. So the transport of it, everything was very simple. And that's really what got me into the whole world of like the Instagram and everything, because I didn't even know what it was. I had to go and be like Googling. I call it asking Auntie Google. I had to go and put in big leaf plant with holes in it. And I came across Swiss cheese plant. And of course, the Monstera hashtag has always been.
Yep. Monstera Monday, baby.
That's it. And so That is how I came into the whole Instagram world of it all, and eventually got back around to growing my own food, or at least trying, because it wasn't super successful initially, but had a community garden plot with a friend of mine in Jacksonville, Florida. And I've said before, and I'll say again, I called it a flop, but I do understand it was absolutely a learning experience. Because
totally
every failure, you know, you learn, like you said on the tomato episode, it was absolutely just an opportunity to recognize you got a long way to go before you figure out all the things.
Absolutely. And I say a lot too, you just don't know what you don't know. All you need is the desire and all you need is the passion. And then you figure it out along the way, but that by no means looks perfect. And, you know, every plant fail that I've had, I feel like I have a lot of gratitude for, because exactly what you said, it's all a learning opportunity. And yeah, I feel like edibles can be super intimidating. And I'm actually going to take a course 2 years in, you know, my third freaking summer of gardening on my balcony, I'm finally going to take a course at the Botanical Garden on just like the fundamentals of gardening.
Sure.
And actually document it on this podcast. But yeah, it's a lot. And when you take to the internet, it can be super overwhelming, but also super helpful, because that was my experience too. Like I took to the internet to figure out the plant care element and plant identification of the plants I was bringing home. And then that's what opened me up to this community that we have online, which can be so supportive and so helpful. So. Yeah. It's so interesting. And so what's your collection look like right now?
My collection right now is kind of in flux. Right now, where I'm at in my life is what I call a reconstructive phase.
Okay.
We're going through some icky things like, you know, divorce and things of that nature. And having recently, as in the last 7 or 8 months, having relocated to Columbia, South Carolina, which was, at first I thought it was a curse, but it turned out to be a blessing, because I was able to get my business established here as a garden coach and get connected with the nonprofit organization where I get to help some teenagers learn how to garden.
Oh man, that's amazing.
I know. But as far as my plant collection goes, just found some really cool succulents that were on sale. So that's building it up. And I had some plants. See, I'm living with my sister currently. I'm actually getting ready to move here like in the next 2 weeks. So like I said, it's all in.
Busy.
Yeah. But I do have, you know, a few houseplants that I've collected. My sister's not really a planty person. So she's a little squeamish because she just assumes that there's all the bugs.
Got it. That's fair. Especially down south.
That come with it.
Where it's more humid.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, it's okay. So I didn't want to overwhelm her. So I just kind of slowly would bring in a little plant or two, kind of fill up the windowsills. And so what I'm excited about is moving. And then you ask me again in like 3 months what my plant collection looks like. And I'm going to be like, how much time you got?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, and there's something to say about having your own space where you have authority over all the windowsills and, you know, every inch of space. But I think you bring up something really interesting that people, you know, people get so attached to their plant collections. Obviously, we care for these things.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have listeners say, you know, I'm moving and I don't know what to do. I can't bring my plants or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is, or their plants die in transit or something. But your plant collection kit, it's like a plant. It's growing, it's changing. You might have a dormant moment where you have to give your plants away because of a relocation, but it's also an opportunity to bring in new plants and learn about different species.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool that you're being so chill about kind of just recognizing that it is in flux right now and it doesn't need to look a certain way. And in 3 months, it's going to definitely look different when you've got your southern facing windows again,
yes. You know? All of that, like when you said relocation and leaving the place, you literally, like, you just killing me softly with that song because I had to leave that beautiful Monstera that I just spoke of.
Yeah.
And I had to leave it in Florida when we moved because we were moving when it was like approaching winter. Of course, Florida, winter, whatever. But we had relocated up north for a hot minute and I just couldn't even bring them with me. I just didn't have the capacity. And what I did though, and this is a pro tip that I would share with anybody who could benefit from it, is find the plant ladies or plant people in your neighborhood. You'll know them when you see them because they have all the plants, right?
Their windows are filled with plants. Yes. Exactly. Just look at their windowsills. Yeah.
That's it. So I donated them to people who I knew would care for them. And I let them know, look, if I'm back in the area, I may or may not come asking you for them.
Right. You might be babysitting this plant.
Boom.
But no, that's so beautiful. That when I started Bloom and Grow Radio, like right before I started the podcast, a friend gifted me 12 plants because she had to move to California suddenly. And it was such a transformative moment for me because I felt like I was thinking of creating the podcast and I felt like it was that like sign from the universe of just coming into like 12 new plants being like, okay, this is your sign. Like, keep going, like keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But also like, it was just, those plants were so special to me because I felt like they were heirloom plants. You know, gifted to me from someone who had been taking, one of them is a jade she had for, you know, I think 10 or 20 years, or there was some crazy story with it. So that's so special that your plants get to live on and kind of spread their love in other homes, you know?
That's it. Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
So Black in the Garden, your podcast, tell me a little bit about what brought you from plant lady to plant lady podcaster.
It definitely started with my love for a podcast, having to this day, having clocked at least 3,000 hours of respective podcast consumerism, if you will.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Once upon a time, I was a trucker from 2017 to 2018. And it wasn't my first time at that rodeo, but when I first did it, I didn't have access to podcasts because technology wasn't there. This was 2005. However, with the Spotify and all of that, I was able to just listen to all the podcasts. My favorite podcast is The Read. I was also into gardening by then. And so looking for a gardening podcast, like I said, having come across Bloom and Grow Radio, that was exciting. And also Epic Gardening because—
oh, love him.
I just love how bite-sized those are. Those episodes are like, I would binge that like crazy, you know, keeping that energy going with being into gardening and being on the road and having that entertainment, and not just the gardening podcast, but really all of them, especially the NPR ones. But as far as feeling like I was hearing my voice represented in the gardening podcast, because I tried some other ones. They were so dry. Why, when I was telling you about how much I love your theme song, I'm like, yes, because I felt that energy right off the top. As far as Black in the Garden goes, representation, super important. I didn't really hear my voice. There's a certain way that I communicate. Well, there's a certain way that Black people communicate with each other because of our shared cultural references, like coming to the internet, especially on, you know, the hashtag is like Black Twitter, where there is just a certain way that we communicate with each other. And having thought coming up in the household that I came up in, that some of my experiences were just experiences that I was having, and talking with people on Twitter and finding out, oh, these are the things that your mom would say to you, or these are products that you would use in your hair, or, you know, these are the ways that you would have meals, or even something as funny as like sustainability equaling the country crock tub being used.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, totally.
Things like that, and seeing the memes and stuff. So I recognize that there is a very specific way that the Black community has a way of communicating with each other. And so feeling like, okay, love gardening. Also love that the fun of all of that, being Black and expressing myself in that way, and wanting to inject that in the podcasting space. And I knew that it was necessary because one of the first indications that I had going into gardening was going into an aisle in this pottery store, and there being gnomes and fairies, all of them were white.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a minute, I don't see me here. At first I was confused. And then shortly, very quickly after that, I was annoyed. And I just was like, not seeing yourself represented in something that you really love and enjoy, that doesn't feel good.
Oh no, I can't imagine what that feeling would be like. And I'm so sorry that that's your experience, that was your experience.
Yeah, it sucks. And it's still, you know, that's what the gnomes look like. Now, shout out to Target for putting out a Black gnome in their store. Yeah, it should be out right about now, because, and I'm telling the secret, now that all the Black gnomes are going to be gone. Because there's a limited quantity, Maria. And wow. Fortunately, the last 2 years, I've been able to snag one. I call him Jerome the gnome, but
I love that.
Yeah. But just, you know, all of those things that I just said in combination, and also loving my hosting name is Cola B Talking. So love to talk, love podcasts. And in college, I was studying communications. And so it all kind of comes together with me wanting to insert my voice into it and, you know, be able to talk about gardening and be able to also get that representation to be a part of the whole situation. And there's also the part where I think about Issa Rae, with how, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she has Insecure, and she's on all the things by now, but she started on YouTube, and she started with the Awkward Black Girl, was her show that she created. She knew that she was a Black person who was having a very unique experience. Well, she thought it was unique or special enough, but she knew that she wanted to see herself represented. So she created something for herself, and it resounded very heavily.
Absolutely.
Very well with, you know, people like myself as well. And that left a mark on me where, you know, I just kind of take information and I kind of file it away. And then once it becomes relevant, I'm like, okay, yes, you can create a podcast actually, because what I love about the podcasting space is it's accessible. I use Anchor, you know, and Anchor just makes it so that everybody gets to have a voice.
I love that. Man, I'm so thankful we're having this conversation right now. Cause when you were just saying, you know, Cola B Talking, like that's the beauty of podcasting, is just like creating these spaces to have conversations. And you're totally right. Like inclusivity, representation across all categories is like a huge conversation, and it needs to be a huge conversation in the gardening space. And gosh, just hearing you talk about that gnome, that just makes me really recognize my privilege too, in such a way, because that is something that I have never had to even consider. And it might seem so small, but it's so significant. It isn't small. And the fact that Target is doing that is so cool. We have to just keep learning and pushing and growing from that. So I'm so happy to have you on to talk about the amazing participation that the Black community has had in gardening and getting to know these houseplants that we have that are from Africa. And you've shared with me two amazing figures that I want to know more about. So you were telling me that Harriet Tubman was the ultimate
kind of botanist, and plants were huge in her calling and what she did.
Oh my God, Maria. So it's so exciting because it was important for me coming into February with a show called Black in the Garden that
yes. I
find out about historical figures that were related to horticulture, agriculture, and knowing about Harriet Tubman. We all do because we learn about her and the Underground Railroad and freeing the slaves.
Yes.
We all know that much about her, but that's pretty much where the knowledge ends. Mm-hmm. Having to dig deeper and understanding that she was actually an herbalist. She was taught by her father about like which plants were safe to eat and which plants were good, you know, for medicinal purposes. Of course, coming from Africa and having that kind of knowledge passed down, that's pretty much how that knowledge came to her. You know, like I said, having been taught by her father about how to forage and things like that. So when it came to her being a conductor on the Underground Railroad, one of the important duties was to find nourishment for the people who she was ushering. I mean, when we say Underground Railroad, obviously we're not talking about a train.
No, obviously talking, not.
Yes, logistically, it's like literally these are people who are very vulnerable and very desperate and having to get through the woods in like the dark of night most of the time and also needing nourishment, of course. So she would look for resources, like she knew that you could eat things like sassafras and pawpaw. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was the most remarkable to me, oh my God, was just thinking about the concept of the babies that were on the journey with them mm-hmm. and having to keep the babies quiet. And so going back to this is how I learned about this particular point with how she would keep the babies quiet with an herb called laudanum. L-A-U-D-A-N-U-M, which is actually an opiate. And she would dose the bread with the laudanum. I guess she would create a tincture. And that would help put the babies to sleep to keep them from crying. And that just hits me in a very emotional way because I have small children. And to imagine my ancestors or me having been in a position like that, because it's hard to disconnect from that for me, knowing that that was mm-hmm. my ancestors, just to consider having a small baby and having that concern, like, oh my God, this baby could cry at any moment and we could all just be fried, you know?
Yeah.
That was something that I learned in a webinar that was held by Leah Penniman, who is the author of Farming While Black. And we're going to talk about her some more because I know we're going to talk about yes. people that are doing that kind of thing. But she held that webinar. She mentioned that specific point. She didn't say the name of the herb, but that really got me very curious. And so I'm so glad that I get to share that particular thing with you just in reference to the fact that Harriet Tubman, she was an herbalist and she worked as a nurse for the Union Army during the Civil War. And she was able to help with the soldiers with the herbs, with her herbalism. She actually did a lot.
Healing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Do you think about the responsibility that she took on in order to save so many people's lives that way, but healing through plants and also having to feed. She was not only guiding, but feeding everyone and having to scavenge and find those plants and know what's safe and what isn't. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And just on a not
foraging, foraging.
Yeah, that's an important distinction to make because there's a different connotation when you say scavenge.
Yeah. My bad.
It's all good. No, that's an important. I'm glad that you caught that.
You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
I just also want to mention that Harriet Tubman was also a spy and she was a guerrilla soldier. Like, that woman was stealthy. Obviously, she never got caught. So, you know, and she was able to move in throughout the woods and the forest in a way where, like I said, with stealth, but that was because she just had an understanding of the land and a deep intuitiveness and connection with nature. So she was able to use that to benefit all the hundreds of slaves that she was able to free.
It's unbelievable. Right? She's one of the OG plant ladies.
OG. I love that. Yeah.
All the plant ladies in the world need to pay respect to her and what she's done and the knowledge. Yeah, we're doing it now. Oh man, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's got to start somewhere. So at least we get to have this conversation to bring some light to that. So I'm glad that we got to talk about that. And I know you also wanted to talk about George Washington Carver.
Yes, because the more I read about him, holy moly, what an amazing man and what an amazing story.
Okay, what was significant to you? Did something stand out to you, like regenerative agriculture, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. And just his story of being born a slave and how he had to fight for his education, mm-hmm. and then what he did with it and how he gave back.
Yeah.
Unbelievable botanist, truly, but also just an unbelievable human story. Yeah. Just unbelievable perseverance.
Absolutely. On Black in the Garden, the episodes that I did on him with my good friend Derek, who is actually a modern day Black botanist. So that was a super fun conversation. It's like full circle, right?
And very cool.
Call him the GOAT, which is the greatest of all time.
I love that.
The botanical goat, and the terminology that I use on Black in the Garden is botanical brother. So he is all of that. And so listen, yeah, like I said, regenerative agriculture was definitely his thing. And
so what is regenerative agriculture for people listening who might not know?
So what it is going back to the crops that were primarily being grown in the South, you know, during slavery times, which were cotton, mm-hmm. and tobacco. Huge monoculture. Monoculture being they were just growing it all over the place. Just that one thing, that's not good for the soil to keep
right.
growing over and over again. You just, the soil was depleted.
Right, just wrecked.
Right, and he recognized that there were ways that we could amend the soil. We could go into the woods and go and collect dead leaves and logs and, you know, like swamp muck, and go and incorporate that into the soil to reintroduce those microorganisms and those biomes. You know, like, I feel like, I'm not sure if biome was the right word, but, you know,
I'm there with you. I get it.
Yeah. So just the concept of, you know, and also the other thing that he was doing, because everybody wants to call him the peanut guy.
Yes.
It's not true. He did not invent peanut butter. That's right. Another one. Mm-hmm. But what he did was he would plant legumes. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Legumes, if you're fancy.
I like legumes. Yeah, not legumes.
Legume will work. We'll go with that.
Whichever one you want is the one I want.
That's it. And mm-hmm. so what those do is they fix the nitrogen. I'm sure a lot of people listening who are familiar with the concept of like growing some beans, and then after you grow your beans, you know that you have enriched the soil with nitrogen. That very same concept, that was the concept that he was able to introduce to Southern farmers. Like, he actually was responsible for...
He like pioneered that style.
Yes. Reinvigorating the whole, the agriculture system of the South.
Right.
Because he was able to come in, and when he was planting all the peanuts that got him to be known as the peanut guy, he was really primarily trying to fix the soil. Well, not trying to, he did fix the soil. And doing that by introducing all the extra nitrogen and everything else that I said with the, basically that is how he was regenerating the soil.
So he was big on peanuts and a few other crops. Mm-hmm. And then he came up with uses. He invented
uses
for those crops to be able to have the farmers who were slaves that take, right? That took over these farms that needed to figure out how to use the soil. He then was so smart that he figured out uses for, because like he made biofuel with one of his, with peanuts or one of his products. And
he did that.
All of the, he used all of these different amazing dyes and all sorts of other stuff to use the product to make it profitable process to rehydrate the soil. Like, that's next level.
I mean, you could imagine there was like, I'm imagining thousands of acres of growing those just
wrecked cotton fields.
Regeneration. Yeah. But of course, then now what are we going to do with all these peanuts? So he created hundreds of products. He was just a, he was so busy, you know?
He was so, yes, 100%. And just to think that he dedicated his life to kind of rehydrating these fields that have such a solemn meaning. I mean, because he was born a slave, you know, that cotton, what cotton means to that. And for him to dedicate his life to fixing that soil, there's something just incredibly, not poetic, but just unbelievable. He's just an unbelievable man. And I think that if people want to learn more in depth, you do have a two-part series on him, right? On your podcast?
I do. Yeah, there's a two-part series that I did on Black in the Garden called George Washington Carver, the Botanical Goat. Yeah, definitely check that out and get your life.
No, it's amazing. It's just amazing what he did and how he then taught at, where was it?
Tuskegee.
Yeah. And then he then taught other Black botanists about it. He's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. And we owe a lot to Harriet Tubman. We owe a lot to him. We owe American agriculture, really, like to him and how he kind of pioneered that soil stuff.
Absolutely. Because it was organic farming is another thing that he was known for. And that was an African indigenous system that had been developed pretty much kind of since the beginning of time in Africa. So it definitely was not a coincidence that the people of Africa were selected to be brought to America. It wasn't by chance. It was because there was a lot of agrarian and horticultural expertise that had been cultivated over thousands of years that made them very much familiar with how to get it right and how to cultivate land. And so being brought over to America, it was like just basically transplanted. I mean, of course, it was horrible and it was ugly, you know, like the transatlantic slave trade, not nothing beautiful about that. It's just horrible to consider. However, that was really the reasoning behind it.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And horrifying and just unbelievable. But we're so lucky to have had him be here and be so brilliant. And I want to read his biography or something. It just sounds like there's reading his biography is basically reading a botany textbook.
When it comes to, you know, everything that I just said about having this ancestral understanding and knowledge of horticultural and agricultural practices as people of African descent, at this point today, there is still unfortunately a disconnect. Unfortunately, because of the traumatic association with slavery, there's a disconnect between Black people, especially in America, and plants. And so a lot of us who are in what I call the Black planty community, we have the shared experience where some of our peers may or family members may be like, well, that's some stuff that white people do. And we're like, no, 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 it's deeper than that. it's something that we've been doing, but we're disconnected from it. When it comes to the representation of people of color in general, not even just considering people of African descent, but people mm-hmm. of color all over the world, it's not like you can look at any National Geographic magazine and you can see, you know, they're usually engaging in nature. And so we are absolutely, we've always been connected, but we just need to be reconnected. But that is another reason why representation is so important.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I can't even say anything else because you just said it so perfectly.
You are welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. It's so interesting learning about these people of African descent that have been so influential in plants and in our plant community, you know, however many years later. But also, I love that you wanted to share your five favorite house plants that Woo-hoo. Come from Africa. I love That's that. True.
Yeah.
So tell me, what are your favorites?
Should I start with the obvious one, African violet?
Yes, because when this episode airs, just coincidentally, African Violets 101 will have aired the week before.
Boom.
So we'll have a whole care episode dedicated to them.
I am looking forward to that. So I'm like, Kanye, I'm going to let you finish and I'll let that African Violets episode air and I'm going to get my life with that one. And so another one, I want to just start big, right? The mm-hmm. fiddle leaf fig is a plant of African descent. And I like to jokingly call them black plants.
Okay.
But the fiddle leaf fig is a plant that actually was cultivated in, I want to say, Western Africa, like in the tropical kind of rainforesty region.
Okay.
And I mean, that's a big one. That's like one of the most popular plants that you can literally find like in every hotel, almost every hotel lobby.
Yeah. And every magazine.
Oh yes. And mm-hmm. you know, like in a movie set, if you're anything like me, being the planty person, looking at TV shows and movies and being like, oh, what? That's cute.
Yeah. I got to get one of those. Yeah.
Yes. And so also the spider plant, very popular, very common plant.
Really?
Of African descent. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Haworthia, the zebra plant, that succulent is so cute.
I think Haworthia are my favorite succulents because I also feel like they're a little bit hardier than a lot of other succulents. So I think if you're gifting a succulent, a Haworthia is such a good choice.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can't not see them at the grocery stores. That is like the plant where it's like, yeah, like you said, a gift. Absolutely. So they definitely play on that. But a plant of African descent. Also the ZZ plant.
Yeah, right.
The ZZ plant. We're talking about like hardcore faves and they are of African descent. And it's just important to me to share that information just so, you know, the Black people can understand, look, we do have a connection with these plants because I call like plants and everything being like a ministry for me. So mm-hmm. it's like trying to convert people.
I love that.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Have you ever bought somebody a plant kind of hoping that they would get into it so you would have another planty friend?
Oh, 100%. And to some success and to some failure. I do that with my friends all the time. Yeah. Just being like, come to my side, friend. Here, have one plant and see how quickly it'll turn into three plants. Yeah. And how quickly that'll turn into 20 plants.
Yeah. That's it.
I think that's a perfect springboard for inclusivity, representation. It's such an ongoing conversation right now in so many communities. And I would love to just talk with you and ask you, who is like nailing it? Like, where can our community for Bloom and Grow Radio go to learn more or just connect with people who have these commitments and goals and maybe companies that we can support that you feel like are nailing inclusivity? Like,
yeah.
Who do you feel like are amazing people to go support and check out and learn from?
I am so glad that you asked and I have all the answers. Well, I don't have all of them. But,
give me
you know,
all the answers, Kola, please. Yes. And these will be all the people we talk about and companies we talk about will be linked in the show notes and blog. So everyone can go click, click, click and follow and check out. Yeah.
Get into it is what I say. Mm-hmm. I would start with Black in the Garden, obviously. And that is because what's happening with my show is I'm going forward. I'm just so excited about where it's going to go. The reason why I say that is because the format of the show is bringing in a Black planty person, horticultural person, whether it be an expert such as like a doctor of public health, which is someone I've had on, a botanist, a horticulturist, a farmer, a greenhouse operator, something like that. These are the types of people that I bring on my show on a regular weekly basis. But as far as people that will maybe coming on the show or just people to take note of, like you, to answer your question, Soul Fire Farm is, okay, that's their Instagram handle. And that is a farm that is ran by, if I'm not mistaken, by Leah Penniman, who I also used as a reference with the Farming While Black. That's a text that I use, get into some of the information that I've shared so far. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, the author of Farming While Black is Leah Penniman, who operates the Soul Fire Farm, which is a farm that's committed to ending racism and injustice in the food system and just inclusion on every possible level. So that work is very important and very noteworthy. So shout out to them. And another one that I love as far as a product that I personally endorse is Coco and Seed, and that's COCO and Seed. And it's a Black owned company. It's just, you just need to see it. It's beautiful. She has Monstera mugs. Maria, come on.
Love a Monstera mug. Love a mug of any sorts. Love a mug. Put a plant on the mug and I love it even more.
You can personalize it because like you can get your name on it. When you order the mug, on one side, it has this beautiful Monstera leaves. And on the other side, you can get your name, whatever you want to do. Also, she has these cute microgreens planters, which that was the first product that I got from her, where it comes with everything, the seeds, coco coir, which is why the name of the product is, the name of the whole brand is Coco and Seed.
Oh, literally coir and seeds.
Boom.
So smart.
That's it. And speaking of seeds, Seed Mail Seed Co. is a Black owned seed purveyor, killing it. Stephanie was actually on my show. She was my first guest. She was cool. On episode 2, and I call her Stephanie the Seed Slayer.
I love that.
What I love about her product is it is so cute. Like the packaging is just, you have to see it. And
it's all 99 cents, right? Per packet?
99, yes, 99 cent seeds. She has just a few specialty items in the store that are, you know, priced a little bit more because they're special. But yeah, and you can order right online and, I have a code for that, but that's all in the notes.
Yeah, you have some discount codes for a couple of these companies, the Coco and Seed, the Seed Mail Seed. So we'll have your discount codes in the notes for everyone so they can take advantage of that and support your podcast in doing so.
That is exactly it. And I appreciate you as a podcaster. You understand, you know, when it comes to something like an affiliate link or a coupon code, when listeners are using that, it directly supports the podcast, which, and everybody wins altogether. So
affiliate marketing for anyone getting started in podcasting or starting your own company, it's so great. It's such a great way for your listeners to grow their collections or, you know, support their hobby, but still support you at no cost to them.
That's it.
And I'm just also a sucker for, I'm such an easy sell. I feel like I buy the podcasts I listen to, like I always end up buying, you know, I have a Quip toothbrush. I have like, you know, the razor everyone talks about. We have all of those basic things that you hear. I'm a sucker for that. But I also like supporting the podcasters I listen to by buying it. Yeah,
that is really it. It's cool because you get to support, but you get a discount too. So
exactly. Yes. So Seed Mail Seed Co. They look so cute. I'm following everyone as we're talking through it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Her website is adorable. She even has a blog on there where she did a very in-depth amount of research on the inventor of the potato chip, who is also Black.
My favorite food.
In it? Like a meal sometimes, actually.
Any form of crispy, salty potato is my favorite food. So potato chip and French fries are tied for me.
That's it. And it's a funny story, actually. So I encourage everybody to go and check out her website, blog, get some seeds, of course. And I also want to mention one that I recently came across is on Instagram. It's Green Heffa Farm.
Okay.
Green Heffa Farm. Mm-hmm. And this is a hemp farmer in North Carolina. She also has hemp herbal teas, and she's also on YouTube as Farmer C, that's C-E-E. So, and I'm going to get into a couple YouTubers as well, because I'm like, I want everybody to win.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's also Urban Farm Sister, who I had a conversation with her, which is actually on her YouTube channel. She is an, let me get the word right, because look, I know words. She is an entomologist.
Oh,
and she is
bugs.
Overall science enthusiast. Bugs. Listen,
just
I would
like
encourage
Summer
you, Maria, have you had an entomologist on your show yet?
I've had Summer Rain Oaks on to do, we did a two-part series of on pests because she's an entomologist, but there's always more pests to discuss.
There's like 5,000, but just the lady beetles is what I learned when in the conversation that I had with, her name is Nadia, the Urban Farm Sister.
Okay.
They're not bugs. They are lady beetles. And there's just five, you could literally just talk about ladybugs with her. But I mean, I'm not saying that you have to bring her on. That's not my point. The point is support her. And she does this, she does a lot of research. She's very knowledgeable about the bugs. She's definitely coming on Black in the Garden very soon. And I'm really wanting to have her on as like a regular guest, because it's like, how much can you really know about bugs, insects, just all in general? And she, this Agricademy, where she teaches young people about the agriculture industry through agri-science and career exploration in a very interesting and relevant way, as a way to help the young people connect with nature and get interested in agriculture, and letting them know, look, it's not just farming. You know, there's just so many ways that you can get involved. So I'm very excited about what she's
doing,
the work she's doing there. So I want to share that. And, you know,
so
like
people
said,
could follow her on Instagram or subscribe to her YouTube channel as well.
That is exactly it. That's it. Yeah. She's the bug lady. So
okay,
definitely
cool.
Keep up with her, and she takes questions. You can email her as well. So she loves talking about bugs. That's what it is.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And so I'm also an Instagrammer who is also the crazy botanist, my friend Derek Haynes, who I mentioned, we spoke about George Washington Carver
our
two-part series. And on Instagram, he is botanical.highlander. And like I said, he's the crazy botanist. He's so funny. He's really very much into like kombucha and fungi. I mean, he's a botanist, so it comes with the territory, right?
We'll have to talk to him. We'll have to have him pick something to come talk about.
He would love that, because he is all about the spreading of the knowledge. And he has a website, thecrazybotanist.com. That's him. And then there's a plant shop, and it's called Lilith, L-I-L-L-I-T-H, plant shop. It's in Washington, D.C. And they do plant styling, installation, workshops, pop-ups, just a lot of really cool services. And a Black purveyor of plants. And in my research on just finding more of them, it hasn't been going as well as I would like for it to. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a big time goal for me, is to have a plant nursery, but it's like low key. I just want to be surrounded by plants and make money at the same time.
Absolutely. That sounds like a good plan.
I feel like a lot of us could identify with that. Right?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, the Lilith Plant Shop is actually a physical location in Washington, D.C. And her Instagram is Lilith Plant Shop.
Okay. And so if we have listeners in D.C., you got to go check her out. Check them out, please. Lilith Plant
Shop. Yes. It's so cute. You can see it on the Instagram because, you know, visuals. And another podcast that I definitely want to shout out that is, if I'm not mistaken, is also hosted in Washington, D.C., it's called the Edible Activist Podcast, and it's hosted by Melissa L. Jones. And what she does is she features people of color in food and agriculture, and they share these very beautiful personal kind of food journeys and perspectives that stem from the land.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, the podcast has so many episodes, so many, just a diverse range of guests. One of her guests was Afrobeats, who I was on his show and he was on my show, and he's all about what he coins Afro-veganism.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a whole movement. And two more, if I may.
Oh, please.
YouTubers.
Love YouTube.
I know, right? Because then you get like the whole video, mm-hmm. and
Well, because plants are so visual. So I feel like the video, it's been fun for us to develop our YouTube show just because the video is just so helpful sometimes as a companion to audio, especially with plants. So who are you loving on YouTube? Who can we go subscribe to?
Absolutely. Who I'm loving on YouTube is one of my planty botanical brothers is what I call him, is Gerard's Horticulture Culture. And he, on Instagram, he puts underscores between Gerard's Horticulture, you know, in between the words.
Okay.
But he's an exotic plant collector and huge enthusiast. And he just, the way that he offers plant care tips, and he like puts really cool jazzy beats behind them, and he's quirky, and he gives it to you in a very clear manner. He takes a lot of thought and consideration into producing his videos, as you can see in the quality of them. He is on the YouTubes along with another one of my faves, which is the Urban Logic.
Okay.
And he goes by Urban Logic on YouTube, but he is the NYC Plant Nerd on Instagram. And he's a plant vlogger. He's also a sneakerhead. It's interesting how those worlds collide, but he offers very, very well produced, straightforward indoor gardening and plant care tips. So that's my shout outs for now. I have way, way more, but girl, do we have time?
I know. We could talk about it all day, but this is a great place to start. So everybody's going to be linked in the show notes. Send some love to anyone, you know, who sounds interesting to you, plant parent community listening in. And the most important is, where can we go find you? Where can we follow you and your podcast? Where can we find it to listen to? Where can we follow you on Instagram? Because I have a feeling after this conversation, you are going to have a lot of new plant friends coming over to visit. So where can we find you?
Y'all come visit. You know, we're all united in the soil is one of the things that I like to say.
I love that.
Let's see. I am on Spotify. Well, I use Anchor. So I'm obviously on anchor.fm. Mm-hmm. Black in the Garden is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And for those, because sometimes I have conversations with people and they're like, I don't know how to do all that. And I'm like, ask Auntie Google. Yeah. Literally Google Black in the Garden podcast and she will find it for you. You can even ask Alexa. I guessed it on a podcast. It wasn't plant related, but he was joking around with me because he always has Alexa. He just asked her a question and he was like, hey, play Black in the Garden. And it came on and I was like, I told you. So
that's amazing.
You can ask that thing that's in your house. Also on Instagram, I'm at Black in the Garden. Same on Twitter, mostly active on Instagram. I also have a Facebook page, which is Black in the Garden. So just go ahead and like over there. A lot of really cool and fun and exciting things that are to come. I'm a one-woman show. I like to remind people of that. I know you can identify with that on some level.
I was just going to say, yes, my plant friend, I can very much understand when you're a one-woman show with a podcast, what that means.
All of the things, all the hats that you wear.
Yeah.
And so the last one I'll throw out there is YouTube. Well, not throw out there. It's a thing. Black in the Garden on YouTube. And so when you're looking for like the most up-to-date information, because I will be rolling out a website. It is, just follow me on Instagram and that's where I update the most.
Great.
But, you know, like I said, one woman, many hats. And so trying to do all the things, I try not to get too overwhelmed with that. But I appreciate your support. Thank you so much, Maria.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for coming on and educating and sharing all this amazing information. I'm going to go on a YouTube spree, I have a feeling, right after we get off the phone together.
Yep.
But this is amazing. Everyone go check Kola out, Black in the Garden. Everything is linked, everything we've talked about. And Kola, I really hope you come back. And I'm definitely inspired to maybe have some more of these people that you just mentioned on. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of my journey to continue the conversation on, you know, inclusivity and representation on Bloom and Grow Radio. And, you know, there's always room to grow there. And I'm just so thankful that you gave us your time.
That's it. No problem at all. Continue to grow. And as I say on Black in the Garden, I wish you love, light, and soil.
I love it. Thank you, Kola, for this amazing conversation. My plant friends, I hope it inspired you and opened your hearts and minds.
this conversation really expanded my mind, and I'm just so thankful for Kola and all the information she shared. And if any of the people we discussed resonated with you, I highly suggest heading over to their pages, giving them a follow, giving them a subscribe. They're all so interesting, doing such awesome things. So I personally ordered a beet microgreens kit from Coco and Seed, the company that we talked about, and it arrived, and it's super adorable and very eco-friendly. And I also ordered that Farming While Black book that Kola mentioned, and I'm super excited to dive in. So all of the people we discussed, including Kola and her amazing podcast, are linked in the show notes. And our conversation is just the surface of the amazing topics that Kola dives into on the Black in the Garden podcast. So definitely click over there and give her a listen and give her a subscribe as an up-and-coming podcaster. Once again, thank you so much to my Patreon subscribers. I appreciate you. Thank you for supporting Bloom and Grow as we bloom and grow. And thank you so much to Plants by Post, today's episode sponsor. If you are interested in getting happy, healthy plants delivered right to your door, direct from the grower in California, head to plantsbypost.com and use the code BLOOM20 for 20% off. My plant friends, Billy is coming back on the show next episode. So get ready. Tune in next episode. Billy is coming back to tell you everything about my being away for a year and him going from no responsibilities to all the responsibilities of caring for our 150 plants. So get excited and make sure you head over to the YouTube channel because there'll probably be more videos released even before Billy comes back on the show. Until next time, plant friends, I truly hope that you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind the scenes, sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you're loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon. For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.